This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 1st of August 2025. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle, dated the 31st of July 2025. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jill Russell.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are: Charity says concept is real opportunity to retain sight. Hampshire Chronicle is News Brand of the Year, and former Hants cricket chair gets OBE. So we start with the story behind the first headline.
Yes, Charity says concept is real opportunity to retain sight. A Winchester charity has revealed its vision for the future of the River Park site. Sport Winchester unveiled its concept for a sporting hub at the disused Leisure Centre at its annual general meeting at Winchester College Sports Centre on Tuesday, July 15th. Andy Amon, the chair of Sport Winchester, called the concept a real opportunity to retain the site as part of the town's infrastructure. Mr. Amon said that the justification was to provide more space for the city's sports club. He said, "We need it. The clubs are articulating the fact that they need more high-quality space to both run their clubs and for people to enjoy and for people to enjoy. There's been an identified shortfall for many, many years, and we think there's an opportunity to create more space and we can all enjoy to play our various sports." River Park is unique in the covenant on that it is for sport and leisure. I know there have been discussions about how that could be broadened out in the local plan process, but our view is that it has been allocated through the covenant, and in that space for sport and leisure. It's a great privilege for the city to have something like that, and we should try and maximise it. So our view is, why not use it for sport and leisure and try to get people excited about what could be? I've been here for 30 years and we use the River Park Leisure Centre. The kids use the leisure centre, but it's been in a poor state of repair for many years, and it's a bit sad. Wouldn't it be great if you could build something on there that was in keeping with the nature of the city? What has great facilities, could be loved and used, and is something that is complementary to the Bar End Leisure Centre and the other clubs in the city. When asked about how much redevelopment River Park would cost, Mr. Eveland said, "It's too early to say." He also said that it's premature to say whether River Park would have to be refurbished or demolished, saying that Sport Winchester is still awaiting the results of Winchester City Council's survey of the site. He continued, "We recognise that these things need to be done properly. We might not have it all in place today, but we recognise that we need all the right processes completed. City Council leader Martin Todd has been asked to comment. A leader on the River Park is also being promoted."
Hampshire Chronicle is News Brand of the Year. The editor of the Hampshire Chronicle has praised her team and spoken of their delight at winning a prestigious award. The newspaper, which represents Winchester and the surrounding areas in Hampshire, was named News Brand of the Year at the NewsQuest Excellence Awards. Chief Executive Henry Four Walker, handed out the honours at a ceremony at Milton Hill House in Abingdon. He said, "These annual awards allow us to recognise and celebrate outstanding achievements and the talent that we are fortunate to have right across the business. Congratulations again to all of them for their fantastic achievements." The Hampshire Chronicle was praised for its excellent newspaper sales, phenomenal website growth, and for its rising number of paying subscribers. It also received praise for its work setting up newsletters and for its continued presence in the community, which enables it to produce a packed 72-page newspaper every week. Collecting the award on behalf of the team was regional editor Kimberly Barber. She said, "Leading such a prestigious and well-respected newspaper is an honour, and it's been wonderful to see it develop into a much-loved digital part of the community too. The award was only possible thanks to the hard work of the team under the long-standing head of news, Andrew Napier. Thank you to all the team who put so much effort into producing this newspaper and its website. And thank you to all the readers who either regularly check our site, follow us on social media, subscribe to our app, or buy a hard copy every week. The Hampshire Chronicle, which is owned by NewsQuest, was founded in 1772 and is one of England's oldest newspapers. Based in Winchester, it began as a weekly publication covering local and national news. Over the centuries, it evolved through various ownerships and formats, maintaining its role as a trusted voice for Hampshire's communities and regional journalism."
Former Hampshire cricket chair gets OBE. Former Hampshire cricket chair Rod Bransgrove has been awarded an OBE for his services to sport. Bransgrove, who led Hampshire County Cricket Club's revival from insolvency, was presented with the honour at Windsor Castle by the Princess Royal, Her Royal Highness Princess Anne, on Tuesday, July the 22nd. Elected chair in 2000, Bransgrove spearheaded the club's relocation from Northlands Road in Southampton to the Utilita Bowl, bringing international cricket to Hampshire. Under his leadership, Hampshire cricket became a formidable force in the county game, clinching three T20 titles and four List A trophies. This included a memorable white ball double in 2012. Bransgrove also launched a significant role in launching the Southern Vipers, the regional women's cricket team based at the Utilita Bowl, which won six trophies in 9 years. In 2024, Bransgrove sold his majority stake in Hampshire cricket to the GMR Group, co-owners of the Delhi Capitals in the Indian Premier League. This move made Hampshire the first majority overseas-owned county in England and Wales. Bransgrove's impact on the sport is not only seen in the trophies won, but also in the financial stability and global recognition he brought to Hampshire cricket.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Allen, Jacqueline Amelia Allen, née Wells, known as Jackie, on the 15th of June. Arnold, Peggy Anita, at home on the 10th of July, aged 90. Barter, Bobby Barter, formerly Corpse, on the 15th of July, aged 83. Caffin, Neville Ernest Caffin, at home on the 17th of July, aged 91. Court, Pearl Court, née Timoth, on the 12th of July, aged 82. Fielder, Mary Irene Fielder, on the 18th of July, aged 94. Gibbons, David Colin Gibbons, on the 9th of July, aged 96. Griffiths, Gladys, at Abbots Barton Care Home, on the 23rd of July, aged 95. Guy, David Stewart Guy, at Winchester Hospice, on the 30th of June, aged 63. Hatt, George Hatt, at Mountbatten Hospice, on the 16th of July, aged 25. Isaac, Ellen Janet Isaac, at Westacre Nursing Home, Winchester, on the 9th of July, aged 86. Weaver, Anne Marie Weaver, on the 18th of July, aged 92. Jarman, Arnold L.W. Jarman, on the 4th of July, aged 96. Jones, Doris Jones, at home on the 18th of July, aged 85. King, David Thomas King, at Winchester Hospice on the 11th of July, aged 77. Payne, Geoffrey Payne, aged 92. Richmond, Sally Ann Richmond, née Cherrett, on the 21st of July, aged 61. And now we have Christian comment.
And the Christian comment this week is from Moira Redmond, and it is headed, "Make the most of your summer." There's a feature of my house that can be both good news and bad news. Mobile reception and Wi-Fi strength are pretty shaky. We've managed to work out some strategies to deal with this, such as high-tech solutions as rushing outside for 10 metres from the front door when a two-step authentication is required. But going out the back door is moving into blank territory. No text, no WhatsApps, no email, no looking things up on the internet. And that's, yes, the good news. In the summer, it's a very nice place to sit out, and once you're used to it, it's calming and charming to be cut off from the outside world for a short time. An emergency is rare, after all, and the desire to communicate and find stuff out can wait a while. We're all moving into summer holiday territory now. Even those of us who are long out of education and whose children have grown tend to follow the academic year in some way. I'm not underestimating the difficulties for parents who have issues with childcare, but most of us can have a lie-in, work from home, more though obviously not in my back garden, take time off, have fewer meetings, just relax, slow down. Part of relaxing might be to do some thinking, take stock of life, give ourselves space to consider what we're doing, what's working and what isn't, and how we might see the future in an unpressurized way. When I'm sitting in the garden, out of reach, I like to read books quite a lot, and then close my eyes and drift off into my thoughts. There's an anecdote of an old man questioned about what he does while sitting on his bench for hours. He replies, "Sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits." Makes no sense, but we all know what he means. I could look it up, where that quote comes from. Ugh, but I've no internet. Emptying your head can make room for all kinds of surprising ideas. Christians have their own special opportunities here. You can think about your spiritual life. You can think about who needs your help and prayers. You can think about ways you can contribute more. And you can pray, too, outside in the garden, or on the balcony, or in the park, in a quiet moment, looking up at the sky is a great time for that. It need only be a short time. Prayer can be solid and long, but also it can be fleeting and effective. I can pretty much guarantee that you'll feel better about the world afterwards. This is Psalm 126. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The chances are a moment of prayer will make you smile. Breathe deeply, take your time, and enjoy your summer. And that was from Moira Redman.
Next, we have the letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We have 9 letters this week on a variety of topics, and we'll start off with the first one,
which is Local Voices, and it's a letter from Nick Adams-King, leader of Hampshire County Council. Thank you to everyone who's shared their views so far on the future of local government in our area. Hampshire County Council is listening, and your feedback will help shape the proposal we submit to government this autumn. Government has made it clear that change will happen, and councils have to submit their ideas to them in September. They'll choose which idea to go with, but we want to make sure your voice is heard before they make that decision. We think 4 new all-purpose councils to deliver all your local services would work best for our area. It's rooted in hard facts: how council services are run, how communities are connected, and how we make the most of public money. Are you confused by multiple surveys? Well, you're not alone. Other councils in our area are also engaging on their own ideas. But our proposal is separate. It's based on solid evidence that would set up strong councils for the future that work hard for you. We don't want to set up new councils to fail, leaving residents to bear the cost. What's at stake? Everything from educating children and how we protect the most vulnerable to local planning and who collects your bins. We deliver most of the council services you receive in Hampshire, so we know what the risks are if new councils get it wrong. So, our ideas. Put local voices first. Create a stronger local government built to last. Ensure councils stay connected to their communities. Protect vital services for those most in need: our children, older people, and those with disabilities and additional needs. Our services are complex, critical, and life-changing. We deliver them every day and take this responsibility very seriously. We know the risks better than anyone. Our proposals are distinct from the other council's ideas. ours ensure we look after all residents, and especially those most in need, so no one is left behind. There is no right or wrong answer, and this is not about having an argument. It is entirely about creating resilient councils who will work efficiently for you, not risk costing you more money. Have your say before August the 17th and tell us your views on our proposals for your simpler, stronger and secure councils for the future. And this can be accessed at, for those with access to the internet, www.hants.gov.uk/LGR. I'll read that again. It's www.hants.gov.uk/LGR. And that's from Nick Adams King, leader of Hampshire County Council.
The next letter is from Simon Lever and it's headed Royal Bones. The reinter of remains in mortuary chest with bones of previous monarchs is significant, Hampshire Chronicle, July the 24th. Bones of various monarchs were scattered around during the English Civil War. Each chest contains bones of monarchs, but to actually identify precisely whose bones they belong to through DNA is a remarkable achievement. Of note, King Canute's bones are in a mortuary chest. The bones of his wife, Queen Emma, are also in a chest. King Canute was Queen Emma's second husband, her first being Ethelred the Unready. Hardly anyone has ever heard of Queen Emma, perhaps 2% of visitors. She was Queen of Norway, Denmark and England, and great-aunt of William the Conqueror. Her estate was located in Winchester. One of her two sons was King Edward the Confessor. There is a reproduction of her bones together with her historic significance which can be seen at Winchester Cathedral's Kings and Scribes exhibition. Hopefully there will be a celebration of the identified bones. And this is from Simon Lever of Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
And this is a letter from Dross Crees, entitled Wildlife is Thriving on Roundabouts. I enjoyed the article by Eve Thompson in the last Chronicle, July 24th, about the wildlife thriving on our roundabouts. There are two other things that need to happen, in my view. Firstly, the public need to be educated that neatness is typically not good for wildlife. Don't rush to mow, trim, hedge cut, block pave, and God forbid, use artificial grass. Leave a bit of mess and untidiness and have a pond, even if it's just a bucket size. For example, we all love butterflies, yet forget they come from creepy, crawly, plant-eating caterpillars, which we too often dislike. Secondly, councils from parish to district to county need to be educated that simply because they've got lots of expensive grass-cutting equipment and a contract doesn't mean that they should be cutting all our verges to within an inch of their life, especially in the heat of summer or just before all of the wildflowers seed. If we stopped that regime and spent the money on filling potholes, over a period of years, we'd get so much more diversity in our verges. Changing planning rules and guidance would help, encouraging bats, nesting birds in eaves, e.g. with swift bricks, and undergrowth corridors for all manner of creatures and insects. It's getting better, but too slowly, and governments need to take more of a lead. And that's from Josh Crees, Rare Ridge Lane, Bishop's Waltham.
PSA testing. This is from Alan Naylor, South Central Area Chairman, Hants and Isle of Wight Freemasons. The stats are in following the PSA testing at St Mary's carried out by the Prostate Cancer Support Organisation in association with the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Freemasons. Hopefully we have caught a few before it's gone too far. Excuse me. Results for Saturday were: tested 283 men with green, 236, that's 83.4%, amber 17, 6%, and red 30, that's 10.6%. 10% is a huge percentage, and although there may be other factors to explain the positive result, it may well prove a blessing in an early diagnosis for some. For those who didn't get tested, there'll be further events in the area to which I'd recommend men over 50 attend. Thank you for the chance to advertise the event at St Mary's on your letters page. If we have further testing days or charitable events, I'll be sure to get in touch. Your support is invaluable. PSA, for those who don't know, stands for Prostate Specific Antigen, an indicator of prostate health. A small blood sample is taken from a vein in the arm. People are informed of the result in 5 to 10 days' time. That letter is from Alan Naylor, South Central Area Chairman, Hants and Isle of Wight, Freemasons.
This letter from Mark Rowe is headed Lionesses. The England women's Euro 2025 football team have been as inspiring as ever. Throughout the tournament, they have played fantastically. May this inspire everyone of any age or abilities to get into football. My player of the tournament, Hannah Hampton, who came into the squad after losing her granddad, was truly moving and brought a tear to my eye. I wish the squad all the best for the future, and thank you for bringing a nation together, as I saw England and other nations, plus clubs as well. Football is a family, and Serena Wiegmann and the team have truly brought football home. From Mark Rowe of Taplings Close, Week, Winchester.
And this letter's from Rod McClenahan, and it's headed Pothole Anger. I was disappointed to read about Mr. Richards' bad experience with Hampshire County Council, who refused to reimburse him after his vehicle was damaged by a pothole. Chronicle July the 17th and the Advertiser July 18th. The council is liable for damage caused by road defects under the Highways Act. The council spends around 50 to 60 million annually on road maintenance, but councillors have said that the cost of restoring our roads in good condition is around 500 million, hence the poor state of our roads. Here's the thing, this cost saving is actually a transfer of costs from the council to road users in the form of increased vehicle usage costs, including pothole damage, and even worse, accidents, including injuries and deaths. But hey, these costs are off the council's books and help keep their costs low, so they fight attempts to recover costs from them. So, HCC, I understand that austerity limits your road maintenance expenditure, but why be so hard-nosed in dealing with claims arising from road defects? And that letter is from Rod McClenahan, Crampmore Lane, Romsey.
Mike Weatherall writes about a rude driver. At 3 p.m. today, my young son was waiting patiently on the pavement at the traffic lights by the M3 slip road and Twyford Road, so he could cross the road when the lights turned red and he could continue cycling towards St Catherine's Hill. I would like to thank the erudite, middle-aged, largish and bald gentleman in the blue Ford who took his time to wind down his window as he drove past and shout, "Get off the road, you prick!" Such encouragement when young people are out on their bikes must be applauded, and I hope whoever this individual is went away with an immense sense of community spirit and for doing his bit for the youth of today. Well done. That's from Mike Weatherall, St Faith's Road, St Cross.
A letter from Rosemary Poole, headed Packaging Woe. Having used a chainsaw to fight my way into a new toothbrush, borrowed a stump grinder to extract a paracetamol tablet from its packet, and a Stanley knife to remove the yellow plastic strip from a bottle of tonic, I concluded that health and safety may have made life safer for children, but they have made it extremely difficult for us oldies. From Rosemary Poole, St James Villas, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Catherine Johnstone, CBE, and it's headed Tireless Work. Across the country, charities are working tirelessly to support their communities, and often volunteers are at the heart of that effort. Readers who are part of charities will know how tough it's become to find volunteers that we need. It's not that the willingness isn't there. We hear every day from people who want to help. It's just that life is busy. The process can be clunky, and too often the right opportunities and the right people simply don't find each other. That's why, thanks to the support of Players of People's Postcode Lottery, Royal Volunteer Service is developing a free-to-use digital volunteering platform to support charities with recruiting and onboarding volunteers. It's been designed with input from local and national charities to help all of us connect with volunteers from all generations and backgrounds, and aims to complement all the existing and good work that's taking place to recruit volunteers at a local level and in specialist areas. The platform will officially open to the public in the autumn, when local people will be able to browse volunteering opportunities and click and connect with causes they care about. But today I'm writing to encourage fellow charities to sign up for free and see how the platform could benefit them. Whether your cause is health, heritage, sport, animals, the environment, or something beautifully unique to your community, we want you with us. This platform is our chance together to make volunteering easier, more accessible and more visible. Whether someone has an hour to give or wants to commit long term, we want them to find a role that fits, something they believe in, something local or something flexible they can do from home. Visit royalvolunteerservice.org.uk to find out more and sign your charity up to the platform. Over the coming weeks, we'll be inviting charities to begin uploading their volunteering opportunities to the platform in stages and to test it out before it launches to the public. So, from one charity to another, I hope you'll join us. Let's make it easier for people to find their place in volunteering. And let's do it, as we always do, by pulling together. And that's from Catherine Johnson, CBE, who is the Chief Executive of the Royal Voluntary Service.
That concludes the letters. Next we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and that will be followed by First Person.
So this is the editorial comment, entitled Floating Ideas for the Disused Leisure Centre. One of the roles of a local newspaper that nothing else can really replicate is to act as a focus for debate. The Chronicle has more than 10,000 readers in newsprint and thousands more online and social media. Our website was on course to hit more than 1.5 million page views in July. So we welcome news that a local charity, Sport Winchester, is promoting a revival of the currently disused River Park Leisure Centre. On July the 17th, we ran a story about the campaign to demolish the centre and build a Lido, or Lido, whichever you prefer, outdoor swimming pool on the site. The Chronicle is fulfilling its role as a place where ideas and proposals can be discussed in public. It helps to negate the cynics who argue that public discussion of local issues are a fundamental waste of time because everything is sorted out in advance behind closed doors. Now is the time for this debate, as the City Council has agreed to market the site on a long lease. Its previous agreement with Southampton University for an expansion of the School of Art campus collapsed earlier this year for reasons that have not fully been made public. Councillor Leader Martin Todd has said the council will consider all potential uses for the site. Sport Winchester says that a centre is needed to address the shortfall of space for the city's sports clubs. It says there is a shortage, even with the £40 million leisure centre in Bar End, which opened in 2021. The main snagging point for Sport Winchester would obviously be the cost of either refurbishing the 1980s centre or demolition and building a new one.
First person this week is by Yinon Ezra on the chaos in reorganisation. We are in the middle of the most fundamental change in local government for 50 years. But why do the citizens of the county have a set of proposals for reorganisation from the County Council and East Hampshire, and also the district councils and the two cities? Why not a united pitch from all? This short piece is going to attempt to discuss why that is, but more will hopefully illustrate why it is really important that as many people as possible respond to the consultation that is currently being sought from all the councils involved. Timescales and closing dates may vary. All these details are available through the various council websites. The councils then have to make their proposals to government in the early autumn. Later, the government will decide on their preferred options and consultation will begin again. Maybe consultation overload and a little confusing, but please persist. I would suggest that this lack of a united set of options stems from differences in priorities, perspectives, and interpretations of what local could or should mean in the reorganisation process. One key reason could be a diverging view of what localism means. Hampshire County Council's preferred proposal focuses on creating larger unitary authorities aiming for financial resilience, service continuity, and alignment with government criteria, e.g. minimum population of 500,000. The district councils and cities like Portsmouth and Southampton, however, argue that these supersized councils risk being remote and disconnected from communities. They advocate for models that preserve local identity and decision-making power, especially at the neighbourhood level. There are also different views over governance models. The County Council's plan includes district area panels and locality teams, but critics say that these would be powerless talking shops without real authority, and are we not just creating another tier? The districts and cities want genuine devolution of power to frontline councillors and communities, not just advisory structures. What is rather vague in all the proposals is where town and parish councils fit in. There could also be some conflicting methodologies and data interpretation. Hampshire County Council and East Hampshire District Council used extensive financial modelling and service impact analysis to justify their options. Other councils questioned the assumptions behind these models, especially around disaggregation of services, setup costs, and long-term risks to vulnerable residents. Are there political and strategic tensions? While there was collaboration on the public engagement process, e.g. the Our Place, Our Future survey, the underlying proposals were developed separately, reflecting different strategic goals. Some councils felt the county's approach was too top-down, while the county argued that a fragmented model could lead to inefficiencies and unequal service delivery. Finally, the key question of local identity versus strategic structural efficiency. The districts and cities emphasised place-based governance, arguing that a single county-wide approach can't reflect the needs of such a diverse area. The county maintained that larger units are necessary to withstand financial shocks and deliver consistent services across the region. What we may have is a clash between two approaches, one about streamlined governance and financial sustainability, the other defending local autonomy and community representation. As one council leader put it at a recent presentation, there is no right or wrong in all this, and I would add, just the best rational and emotional response.
Right, some what's on items. I realise that you may not receive your memory stick in time for this information, but I put it in just in case somebody, the memory stick arrives tomorrow, which is Saturday. This Sunday, which is the 3rd of August, there will be an open day at Twyford Waterworks. Mm-hmm. Next week, Tuesday to Sunday, that's from the 5th to the 10th of August, there will be Days Out with Thomas the Tank Engine on the Watercress Line. So if you're having to entertain any grandchildren, maybe that's something to think about. On Thursday, the 7th of August, at Shawford Springs Care Home, there will be a summer fair from 12:30 to 4 in the afternoon in aid of the Alzheimer's Society. And then on Friday, the 8th of August, there will be a coffee at Rick Stein's restaurant in the High Street from 9:30 till 11 in aid of Home Start Winchester. On Saturday, the 9th of August, at the Theatre Royal, there will be a presentation of Horrible Histories, Gorgeous Georgians and Vile Victorians, which might provide a bit of entertainment. On Saturday and Sunday, that's next weekend, that's the 9th and 10th of August, there will be the South Downs show at the Queen Elizabeth Country Park, which is near Petersfield. And then looking ahead a little bit, on Sunday the 31st of August, there was something called DemFest, which is organised by the Romsey Dementia Action Group, which will be held at the Sir Harold Hillier Gardens at Ampfield from 11 to 4 o'clock with lots of activities and entertainments there. Sunrise at the moment is around about 5:30 in the morning and sunset is around about 9 in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And the number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Right, we continue now with further items of news, but we've got a change in the readership now. In place of John Richards, we're very pleased to welcome Brandon Tomlinson, who is a student who is doing work experience here at the Hampshire Chronicle. So he's coming in to read with us for this second part. So you'll be hearing him after Tony's started off with the first of these news items.
Right, and the first news item is headed Calls to Relax Some Parking Charges. Opposition councillors are pressing for a relaxation of parking charges in Winchester in the evenings. Senior Tory councillor Stephen Godfrey said the council should do more to help businesses under economic pressure. Councillor Godfrey, a former council leader, said, "I'm increasingly concerned by the mounting pressure on local businesses of multiple cost increases on top of the underlying cash flow pressures associated with falling consumer confidence, down 5.4% last month. Local businesses are feeling the pressure with rising national insurance costs, reduced business rate relief, along with a 4% decrease in footfall in Winchester over QI compared to last year, in contrast to a national rise in footfall of 2% over the same period. The QI BID, which stands for Business Improvement District, report specifically refers to parking being an issue and suggests extension to park and ride capacity. This administration could and should relax early evening parking charges and increase the park and ride capacity, two things squarely in their power to protect Winchester's economy. Will you act now before it's too late?" Councillor Kelsey Lerner, Cabinet Member for Climate and Nature Emergency, disputed Councillor Godfrey's claim about falling footfall, saying, "We continually monitor footfall and the use of our car parks to balance keeping the town thriving with reducing city centre congestion and pollution. The latest 3 months of publicly available BID statistics show a 2.5% year-on-year increase in footfall compared to a national increase of 2%. Our own latest figures show an annual increase in use of 2% in the central car parks, 9% in the park and walk car parks, and 5% in park and ride. We have over 1,200 free evening and Sunday parking spaces in our park and walk car parks, which are being very well used, and over 7,500 visitors per month are taking advantage of the free hour available in those car parks during the day. This shows our strategy encouraging visitors to come to the city. But if they come by car to park outside the centre is succeeding, we are working to introduce park and ride to the north of the city at St John Moore's Barracks and at King's Barton. With the opening of the Barfield Phase 2 car park, the park and rides remain both well used and well within their capacities on a day-to-day basis outside the Christmas peak. Unfortunately, the complaint by businesses around parking referred to in the BID report of aggressive and over-officious on-street parking wardens making deliveries and pickups in the city centre difficult is now out of our control. But I am happy to make representations to the County Council about the problems this is causing for businesses."
Pupils appear on TV to launch butterfly count. School pupils helped launch the UK's national butterfly count live on television. Students from St Swithin's Prep and senior schools appeared on BBC Breakfast and ITV's Good Morning Britain as they helped kick off the Big Butterfly Count 2025 from Magdalen Hill down, a nature reserve near Winchester managed by Butterfly Conservation. It is just across the road from the school on Alsford Road outside Winchester. The pupils spoke about the importance of tracking butterfly populations and preserving natural habitats, with their involvement later featured on the BBC News at 1. Head teacher Liz Norris at St Swithin's Prep said, "We are incredibly proud of our pupils for the maturity and passion they showed in supporting such an important cause. Their national appearances are testament not only to their enthusiasm for learning, but also to the growing awareness of global environmental issues." Armed with butterfly nets and identification guides, the pupils took part in the count, spotting species including the marbled white meadow, brown, and gatekeeper. Speaking to the BBC, St Swithin's Prep pupil Rose said, "I think it's so important so that people can connect to nature and they don't just spend all their time indoors." Her classmate Imogen added, "I wanted to take part because I think every person should do a bit to help the world." The Big Butterfly Count runs until early August and encourages the public to spend 15 minutes recording sightings of butterflies and moths in any green space. The data collected helps scientists monitor changes in butterfly populations across the UK and assess the impact of climate change and habitat loss. St Swithin said the project highlights its commitment to environmental education. A spokesperson for the school said as climate change and habitat loss continue to threaten butterfly populations, the contributions of young people, like those from St Swithin's, have never been more valuable. At St Swithin's Prep, students can make a positive impact on the environment and grow a deep appreciation for the natural world through involvement in a wide range of opportunities, such as our Eco Committee, Gardening Club, and Outdoor Explorer Sessions. Big Butterfly Count, managed by the Butterfly Conservation, is the world's largest citizen science survey dedicated to butterflies.
MP praises police efforts over tackling crime. The city MP has praised police efforts to tackle crime on the high street. Winchester MP Danny Chambers joined Chief Inspector Corinne Bishop and Paul Spencer from the Winchester Business Improvement District, BID, for a tour of the city centre to discuss ongoing challenges. Dr. Chambers spoke with business owners and staff to better understand the antisocial behaviour they face and to hear firsthand about the impact on daily trade. He said, "I'm really impressed with the work the police have been doing with the business community and city council over the years to bring crime rates down. Part of that success is about encouraging people to report incidents and coming out to listen to business owners and staff. As an MP, I want to make sure we have the resources needed to keep this success going and to get crime down even lower. While crime and antisocial behaviour in Winchester have declined over time, some high street businesses continue to report persistent issues. Efforts to tackle the problem involve close collaboration between the police, business groups and Winchester City Council." And the article is accompanied by a photograph of Danny Chambers with Paul Bishop and Corinne Bishop with Paul Spencer and Corinne Bishop in Winchester High Street.
City Centre GP surgery is ranked as the worst. St Clement's surgery has been ranked the worst in the city according to the 2025 GP patient survey for the NHS England. Out of 11 GP practices in Winchester, the surgery, which recently relocated to the corner of Upper Brook Street and Friars Gate, ranked last place, earning 78% for overall positive experience. Since moving earlier this year from their previous facility in Tanner Street, St Clement's have been investing in improving their services. However, patients still seem to think it's missing the mark. The practice was ranked on various elements like ease of phone and website contact, helpful reception services, how often patients got to see their preferred GP, and ease of contact via the app. Practice manager Faye Johnson said, "We are, of course, disappointed by our ranking in this year's results. While it's difficult to receive, we acknowledge the importance of the feedback and are using it as a serious opportunity to reflect and improve. It's worth noting that the drop in our overall score this year was primarily driven by responses related to access to the practice. We recognise that accessing care in a timely and convenient way is essential, and this is a key area we are actively working to address. At the same time, we are encouraged that we continue to receive positive feedback on the quality and care of professional approach of our team through other channels, including our friends and family test responses and online reviews.
Joy as Village Shop is saved. A village shop has been saved from closure. It has been announced that Kathana Dash, who runs the Premier Shop in Mitford Road, Alsford, is taking on the Cheriton Village Shop in School Road. The shop had faced closure after its former operator, Gillian Grey Knight, announced that they would be closing it in March. Mr. Adash, who has run his shop in Mitford Road for 15 years, said he and his team are taking on the shop mainly for the local community. He said, "They approached us to take over because they know we are very good at running these sort of shops. So we said we would go for it. We heard about it from one of my staff. He's very good with local customers, but someone came and told us the shop is going to close. We're a bit worried about it. Is there a chance you could run it?" And we said yes. Then we met with the seller and she was happy for us to take over. It's all going good now and we are refurbishing it. Mr. Adash said that despite also running a Premier shop, the Cheriton Village shop would not be rebranded with the Premier brand, and that it would instead keep its more subtle colour scheme. He continued, "The residents were extremely supportive and enthusiastic about having the shop reopened, and they assured us of their backing." Mr. Adash said that the shop will offer a range of essentials, including milk, bread, newspapers, magazines, groceries, sandwiches, fruit and veg, DIY goods, soft drinks, alcohol, cigarettes, and even plants, adding, "We will do our very best to meet the needs of the local community." The shop will also soft opening on July 31st with a grand opening on Saturday, August 9th. Cheriton Parish Council has been contacted for comment.
Residents' concerns over reorganisation. Members of the public have learned more about the upcoming local government reorganisation at a High Street drop-in information event. The session was held in St Maurice's Covert in Winchester on Thursday, July the 24th. The event allowed people to see more details about the three options, which would see Hampshire County Council and the local councils across the county scrapped and replaced with four new councils. The options shown would see one council manage the Winchester District, East Hampshire and Test Valley, with two options also including the New Forest. Attendees have expressed their views, with most people worried about the size of the area covered by the proposed councils. Steve Favell, 65, of Romsey Road, compared the proposals to reorganising the deck chairs on the Titanic. He said, "It is interesting to see that both Hampshire County Council and Winchester City Council disappear. I did not know that was going to be the case. My concern is how they are going to balance the books in terms of stuff like special education needs. It is reorganising the deck chairs on the Titanic. It is something that is going to happen anyway, but I am not convinced." Martin Racher, 62, of Kingsgate Road, said, "I have concerns about it. The fact that the considered areas seem so large and we are going to be grouped with the New Forest, for example, how will the needs of such diverse populations be met? Having grown up in London, I've seen this all before. I see the whole thing going round again. It is down to the people running it. For example, you could have a small authority run badly or a large one run well. It is down to the people in the end." Barry and Christine Keane of Bramshaw stopped at the information event while visiting Winchester. Mr. Keane said, "I fear for the future. I am wondering how they're going to keep up with it." A City Council spokesperson said, "We've been really pleased to be able to have conversations with residents across the district, and we thank everyone for taking the time to speak with us and for completing the survey. There's still time to do it until Sunday, July the 27th.
16th century pub to reopen next month. The new owner of a Hampshire country pub has spoken of her excitement to reopen. Shelley Shaw, 35, has taken over the Ship in Bishop Sutton, with plans to reopen it on Tuesday, August the 19th. Speaking to the Chronicle, Kelly, who was born in Winchester, called the pub her most ambitious project yet. She said, "It's exciting, but also slightly nerve-wracking. I moved down from London last year, and I'm not one of those relocate from London and everything is rubbish, but I saw a gap where food services on par is really hard to find. You go somewhere where there's really good food, but maybe the service is lacking a little bit. I wanted to create somewhere where I wanted to go, where the food is just as good as the welcome you get when you come through the door. I wanted to exceed people's expectations, but it's not fine dining. It's just beautifully done food that'll be elevated from your normal pub, but which isn't pretentious." Joining Kelly in running the Ship is Emma Riddle, who will be overseeing the front of house operations, and Michelin-starred chef Tristan Lee, who will be running the kitchen. A first-time pub manager, Kelly has a background in interior design and cybersecurity. Discussing her career change, she said, "In my late teens, as soon as I was able, I was working in a few pubs in Winchester for 2 or 3 years, so I'm used to the crazy work weeks in the pub trade. I want to create a team that works together. It's a beautiful environment."
Leader of Council to run for mayor. Martin Todd, leader of Winchester City Council, is campaigning to be the first mayor of Hampshire and Solent in next year's groundbreaking election. He has created a website as well as launching his bid on Facebook to become the Lib Dem candidate. His Facebook page, Martin for Mayor of Hampshire and Solent, has already taken off after releasing a campaign video that has received more than 1,000 views. His website, Martin for More, also contains information outlining his plans. The official Lib Dem mayoral campaign starts on Saturday, 6th of September, the day after the Lib Dem selection result is announced. In Martin's website, he says, "I strongly believe that we will have the strongest possible plan for more of our residents if we build on the ideas of all of our members across Hampshire and Solent. No one person can know what's right for every part of our huge geographical region, and so if selected, I will be holding meetings in every local area to make sure we have a plan that works for every part of the mayoralty. Ahead of those meetings, it's worth stating that there are certain topics that matter greatly to me, and I'll be pushing to include them in any plan we produce together." Martin has been a campaigner for the Lib Dems for 40 years and more than 20 years in Hampshire and the Solent, and has also stood as parliamentary candidate in 3 of the region's constituencies, and is now the leader of the Winchester City Council, as well as Hampshire County Councillor.
Display is keeping the past alive. A new history board has been unveiled in Kingsworthy to help keep the past alive. The display, installed in the Hook Pit area, is the latest in a series of boards highlighting the heritage of the surrounding villages, with 6 others already in place across Headbourneworthy, Kingsworthy and Abbotsworthy. Nigel Bright, whose family has farmed the land around Hook Pit since 1940, officially unveiled the new board. Nigel said, "I'm honoured to be unveiling this history board, and it brings back memories. It's good that other people will realise how the place was before, and it will give them an all-round view of the new estate. The board tells the story of Hook Pit, once a quiet country track with just a few houses, a farmhouse and a pond before it was developed in the 1970s and 80s. It features photographs of the farmhouse, which was demolished in 1973, and a view of the lane from the 1940s. The display also explains the origins of the name Hook Pit, shares details about the nearby railway line, and offers a glimpse into everyday life in the area. Members of the Worthies local history group and residents, past and present, gathered for the unveiling. The board was funded by David Fry in memory of his father Alec, a long-time Kingsworthy resident. It was produced by the Worthies local history group in collaboration with Kingsworthy Parish Council.
Major concerns over South West drought plan. Major concerns have been raised over the Southern Water's drought plans, which could see water continue to be taken from the River Test as water levels fall. Businesses could see sweeping restrictions, including the forced closure of certain swimming pools and car washes, if necessary. Major concerns have been raised on the effects the plan would have on the Test and Itchen's wildlife, with one Itchen River activist branding the move as a lethal cocktail for wildlife. Southern Water itself was unable to rule out an adverse effect on endangered salmon living in the area. Currently, the utility company can take the equivalent of 80 million litres of water per day from the River Test, provided the overall flow of the river remains above 355 million litres per day. But the company now wants to lower this licence limit, meaning it would be allowed to continue taking water until the flow drops to 265 million litres per day. Southern Water said they cannot simply stop taking water from the Test, as it was necessary to ensure taps remain running, confirming to the Echo that the region is now in drought. We follow a strict legal process set by the government and regulators to ensure we are taking the correct steps to both supplying water to our customers and to mitigate any negative environmental impact at the same time, a spokesperson told the Echo. Further restrictions would only be brought in if absolutely necessary, Southern Water said, and it would only be needed if river flow falls below 355 million litres per day. The change is part of the utility company's drought order, which has been submitted to the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, due to a threat of a serious deficiency in supplies of water. While a hose pipe ban came into effect on Monday, it does not currently impact businesses. But part of the drought order means that a non-essential use ban, in brackets NEUB, could potentially be issued, which would see businesses forced to comply with 10 hosepipe restrictions. Southern Water said this will only be implemented if necessary, but its enforcement would see car wash businesses banned from using hosepipes to clean vehicles. Mechanic vehicle washers would also not be allowed under the Drought Direction 2011, and swimming pools that are only open to paying members may have to close.
Football fans roar on Lionesses' glory. Football fans erupted in celebration as England's Lionesses clinched European victory. Supporters gathered in pubs across the city, including at the March Hare pub in Harestock, to watch the 2025 UEFA Women's Euro final, where England triumphed 3-1 over Spain in a dramatic penalty shootout. Chloe Kelly's decisive spot kick secured back-to-back titles for the Lionesses and sparked jubilant scenes. Manager of the March Hare, Zach Wynne, said the atmosphere was electric. The pub was packed and buzzing with a real community spirit. Friends and families were all cheering, chanting and singing together in support of the national team. The final rounded off the pub's sausage and cider festival, making for an even more memorable weekend. Mr. Wynne also added it was a perfect end to a busy weekend and really felt like the cherry on top. He hopes to recreate that buzz as the pub launches its new sports bar this Friday.
Flood-prone road warning, coroner. A coroner has warned National Highways and a county council about providing more regular maintenance for a flood-prone road. For a flood-prone A road after a man died in a car crash. James Scott, 25, lost control after driving through an area of standing water on the A33 southbound near Kingsworthy on the evening of July the 5th last year. The car then turned sideways and collided with another car travelling the other way after it crossed into the opposite carriageway. Mr. Scott sustained fatal injuries. An inquest into his death heard that two of the drains by the southbound lane were compacted with vegetation that caused little or no surface drainage from the road, despite the area being a known flood risk for several years. Annual scheduled maintenance, which included clearing gullies and catch pits, had taken place in May and November 2023. A temporary flood warning sign was located some 8 metres north of the flooding on the grass verge, but had been in that location for about 5 years. Ownership of the sign is debated between National Highways and Hampshire County Council. In a Prevention of Future Deaths report, Rosamond Rhodes Kemp, area coroner, said, "Whilst the precise cause of the flooding is unknown, a more regular maintenance schedule may have prevented the build-up of vegetation within the gullies and therefore assisted in the drainage of the heavy rainfall experienced that day, thus reducing the amount of surface water present on the road." The coroner said the fact that only a temporary sign was being used by the road when the area was known for years to be a flood risk was a matter of concern. A forensic examiner concluded the standing water on the road was a contributory factor in the crash. Copies of the report were sent to the chief executives of both National Highways and Hampshire County Council, with both parties compelled to respond by September the 18th. Miss Rhodes Kemp added, "In my opinion, there is a risk that future deaths could occur unless action is taken."
Marwell Zoo's exciting new summer attractions. A world-first exhibition of extinct animals made from millions of toy bricks officially launched at Marwell Zoo just in time for the school summer holidays. The exciting exhibition, Extinction, brings 24 extinct species back to life in stunning life-sized brick sculptures, including a fearsome saber-toothed tiger, towering woolly mammoth, and hissing Taita Boa, all dotted around the 140-acre park. The exhibition is a great addition to Marwell, offering families the chance to follow a trail which shines a spotlight on lost species, and it runs at the zoo until the 7th of September. The sculptures are impressive and educational, offering mind-blowing facts about the extinct animals, including the number of years ago they became extinct, one of which was 14 million years ago. There are also facts about how long the life-size models took to build and how many bricks. 2 million in total and more than 4,000 hours. Visitors can pick up a free trail activity pack at the entrance before exploring the creatures that once roamed the earth, some of which feature additional interactive elements, such as a giant dinosaur egg that visitors can climb inside, or push a button to hear the dire wolf's howl. Extinction Base Camp in Marwell's Secret Garden offers children the chance to transform into their favourite animal with themed face painting on selected dates, help build a massive brick saber-toothed tiger, or craft their own mini mammoth or dodo to take home. The zoo is also offering a new virtual reality experience giving visitors the chance to get closer than ever before to our planet's incredible creatures. That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
Brandon Tomlinson.
Goodbye.
And Jill Russell.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you are able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 3 p.m.